So to hear and determine complaints, the commission has an internal judiciary. It's sort of a unique agency in that regard, in that it houses its own hearings division. Other agencies like PUC, you have ALJs that serve there, but if there's a dispute, it goes off to the State Office of Administrative Hearings. That does not exist at the Railroad Commission. It's all internalized. So, like I said, it's called the hearings division. Although that they're employees of the commission, they are segregated from other employees on a day-to-day, on any day-to-day business, so that no ex parte communications occur between commission staff and the ALJs in the hearings division. There are three general divisions. There is the oil and gas section. That section is typically charged with hearing flaring exceptions, mineral interest pooling act applications, statewide rule 37 exceptions, and then the 8, 9, and 46 issues, the 9 and 46 being injection and disposal wells. There's a pipeline section that we're really not going to discuss today in detail, but they're charged with rate making. Surface mining and reclamation is charged with... At this point, a lot of their duties are just dealing with bond issues and reclamation of old mining sites. So in the hearings division, there are two types of hearings. There's uncontested hearings where there's essentially one party that's there, and they would appear before an administrative law judge and a technical examiner to seek some exception to some rule. Those are typically flaring exceptions these days, where an operator is seeking an exception to flare gas beyond the administrative time that it's allowed to flare. The other is protested or contested. And these are typically Rule 8 land farming applications, Rule 9, 46 disposal injection wells. When you're applying for an injection well, we'll get to this in a bit, you have to give a notice to certain classes of persons, and those people are afforded an opportunity to protest the application. And in that event, it goes to an evidentiary hearing. So a word of advice to all the attorneys that litigate in district court, but not at the commission. If you find yourself at the commission, just know that there's procedural rules that do not track the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure. The commission has its own set of procedural rules that appear on its face to detract the rules of civil procedure, but in practice really don't. Now, to evidence, they largely track the Texas Rules of Evidence, but there is a caveat in the procedural rules that states that evidence not admissible under the Texas Rules of Evidence may nevertheless be admitted under certain circumstances. So how is the Railroad Commission organized? Its headquarters is in Austin, obviously, but then it's broken down into districts based on geography. And this is just an illustration of where those districts are and where those districts are headquartered. Obviously, you can see that Houston is one of them, San Antonio is one of them. If you're representing an operator with any type of frequency in any of these districts, I would encourage you to make an introduction to the district director so that you have an open line of communication with Railroad Commission staff for your day-to-day operating needs. So the commission is broken down into 11 divisions. They're not all listed there, but the ones that you would likely run into in your work is the General Counsel Division, the Hearings Division, Oil and Gas, Government Relations, Critical Infrastructure, and Oversight and Safety. And then over to the side, that's an illustration showing how the organization flows. You obviously have the commissioners at the top through an executive director, and then you see all the folks that are in charge of the various divisions. Another point that I always make is that I get asked a question a lot is who should I call at the commission on any type of problem that they may be having. If you go to the commission's website, there is actually a PDF that's available that says oil and gas activity contacts. And so if you have a P4 issue, there's a number there with a name. And so it's a good way to get in touch quickly with someone that you need to speak with about whatever issue you're maybe having. So the statewide rules, the statewide rule one, this is what is referred to as the organization report. I refer to it as the license to operate. any person, any company that's within the jurisdiction of the commission has to have an active P5 to legally operate in Texas. The P5 is nothing difficult, but it does require a certain information to be provided to the commission. Address and emergency contact information, plan of business organization, and information relating to the operator's officers, directors, or general partners. The P5 is required to be renewed on an annual basis. The idea behind that is that it incentivizes operators to stay in compliance, to make sure that they're plugging and abandoning wells timely, and that they're correcting any violations that it might exist in a timely manner. As part of the P5, the commission requires that an operator maintain financial assurance, and there's various forms of financial assurance that are available to an operator depending on what type of activities they're doing. But the financial assurance is in place if an operator becomes insolvent or can't be found. The commission at least has some money available to it to remediate whatever is left, whatever that operator left behind. In addition to the financial assurance, the commission requires all operators to maintain accurate records, and the commission is allowed to access those records whenever they feel that it's appropriate.